Tonight Peg asked me if the Lord had given me anything, and he had. I believe this is what he's given me, so I'll share it with you. I just ask that the Holy Spirit would use me tonight, and there'd be none of me in this, but it would be all of the Holy Spirit, and that God would get all the glory for it, and that we would all receive from him, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Isaiah 11. And the first part, and it starts with the branch from Jesse, which is Jesus. But I want to go to verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will lay hands on Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. And this is the one I'm really concerned with, is verse 15 and 16. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind, he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that men can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. Do you have the Amplified?
No.
Would you read that for me?
Those two?
Yes, those two.
Okay. And the Lord will utterly destroy, doom, and dry up the tongue of the Egyptian sea, the west fork of the Red Sea. And with his mighty scorching wind, he will wave his hand over the river Nile and will smite it into seven channels and will cause men to cross over dry shod. And there shall be a highway from Assyria for the remnant left of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up out of the land of Egypt.
Thank you. I was wondering about Assyria. I didn't know what Syria and Assyria, the difference between, and didn't know that much about Assyria. So I went to Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, and this is what it says. The Assyrian Empire ruled from Iran to Egypt. Their kingdom was between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. In 612 BC, the Persians conquered them. When Hoshea, king of Israel, refused to pay the required tribute to Shalmaneser V, he attacked Samaria, the capital of Israel. After a long siege, Israel fell to Assyria, and 27,000 inhabitants of Israel were deported to Assyrian territories. This event marked the end of the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes. Most of the departed Hebrews never returned to their homeland. When Jesus' followers were scattered, the apostle Thomas with Thaddeus and Bartholomew founded the Assyrian Church of the East in Edessa, and the bulk of the Assyrian population converted to Christianity. Remember, God had sent Jonah earlier to the capital of Assyria, Nineveh, to preach to them to repent, and they did. God is truly seeking these people for his kingdom. But in 1300 AD, the Arabs levied attacks on Christians simply for being Christians, and many Assyrians converted to Islam to avoid the tax, and they converted to Islam to avoid the tax. And the Assyrian language was completely supplanted by Arabic. They have suffered mass genocide and lost control of their ancestral land and are scattered throughout the world. Sounds like Israel, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Today's countries that were former Assyria are Eastern Turkey, North Iraq, especially Kirkuk, and we're hearing a lot about that lately, Syria, and Urmia, Iran. And then in the beginning of this, in verse 15, it says, "The Lord will dry up the guilt of the Egyptian sea." So I came across John Wesley's notes. We know he and his brother were great evangelists. He started the Methodist Church. So on this verse 15, because your version says destroy and dry up.
Yeah, destroy the town.
Right. So this is what he says. "Destroy shall not only divide it as of old, but dry it up, that it may be a highway. The Red Sea, which may well be called the Egyptian Sea, both because it borders upon Egypt and because the Egyptians were drowned in it, which is called a tongue in Hebrew text, as having some resemblance with a tongue, for which reason the name tongue hath been given by geographers to promontories of land which shoot forth into the sea, as this sea did shoot out of the main ocean into the land." And when I used to read this, and I read it, and this is coming, it's a prophecy that's going to be realized, but I then stopped to think that with Moses, God divided the Red Sea, but this time he's going to dry it all up. And maybe you all were cognizant of that, but that hadn't hit me when I had read that before. And then it goes on about the Euphrates River. And he says here, as there was another highway from Egypt, all impediments should be removed, and a way made for the return of God's Israel from all parts of the world. He mentions Assyria because thither the 10 tribes were carried, whose case seemed to be the most desperate. There's a lot of controversy about who the 10 tribes are, and some of them are in other parts of the world, but there must be quite a few still in Assyria, because this is what the prophecy is about, going across the Euphrates River to bring them back home. But this just touched me so much. He wouldn't let me get away from this, but I'm thinking on CNN or Fox News, if we're still here, or when we're in heaven, we're actually going to be watching all of this happen. We didn't see the first one, although we'll probably get reruns in heaven, I don't know. But we're going to see this one anyway, and it's exciting to think that we're actually going to see this happen. And maybe some of us will be right there in Israel when it does happen. Who knows? But, yeah. So, I didn't have very much, but this is what the Lord gave me. And it was exciting to me, anyways, that we're actually going to see the Red Sea not parted, but dried up this time. and the Euphrates rivers. It's the seven different streams. But he's going to retrieve his people from all over the world, not just the Assyrians. Mm-hmm. All of his people will come back. So,
thank you.
And then I know we're hearing so much about Kirkuk lately and Iran, and all of these are going to be involved, you know, one way or another. Because a lot of these we're not sure, like Cush and Elam, some of these had different names than what we're seeing here now, or have different names now. In the beginning, though, is about Jesus, the branch of Jesse, and that is so beautiful. I probably should have read that, too. I think I will.
Okay. Thanks.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
That is awesome.
I know.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Gail, did you have something?
Yes. Last week there was a webcast that I wanted, the Lord just kept pressing in my heart. It came out of Alabama, and it was with Paul Keith Davis, Paul Kane, and Shelley Stephen, and it actually came out of the church Shelley Stephen is pastor of, and the conference was about the Bride of Christ, and the Lord just had me mainly watch the two times that Paul Keith Davis spoke, and I won't go into the complete detail of everything, but there were a couple of things that were just impacted me, and it kind of follows along with what you said on Sunday. And tonight I had another vision. I frequently get a vision of the Joshua tree. And I saw the Joshua tree, but I heard a strange thing. When I saw it, I heard the Joshua tree is growing in the desert. Wow, strange statement. But it took me back immediately to one of the things Paul Keith, when in the first, I saw him on Thursday and Friday. And on Thursday, he gave out a impartation to those present, and obviously to all those that were listening, that the words, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you." And here I had seen the vision of the Joshua tree, and immediately this tree back in. And one of the comments he said was, what he did with Moses is not what he did with Joshua.
he was with him, but they didn't do the same thing. And he was, as he was giving out this impartation to all the people there, and he did, I was utterly amazed. As I watched this, the webcast kept focused in on his impartation. He just has a very humble spirit, and he just went out into the people that were there. There probably was 200, 250 people. I'm just guessing. I'm not a good guesser, but that appeared to be the size. He just walked out in amongst them and just went from one to the next, just it was flowing. It was just like a flowing out of him. And he always laid hands on the head. He was always imparting towards the head. Spoke words, would see things, but it was in a very, you knew the Spirit of the Lord was coming, excuse me, forth out of him. But it was in such a humbleness and such a, I was just, it just held my heart, the way he was so at ease to go forth, and he took his time. He must have been at least an hour, because he took his time, and with those that he had to take his time, it was a good lesson for me to just watch this, because a man of his stature had no problem going out and amongst all these people. But anyway, that's what he was imparting, was, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And I was feeling that this was an impartation that was being given out as part of this conference, and I just felt that I needed to share that. And then there was another part of the conference that he spoke of, and he went into Ezekiel chapter 3. And I'll just share that with you. Those two scriptures that I just kind of stood out. This was one. And this is where it really specifically tied into what you were talking on Sunday, Peggy. It was the first four verses. He said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find in this book. Eat the scroll, then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat the scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. And he said to me, "Son of man, go, get you to the house of Israel, and speak to them my words." And after he read this, Paul Keith spoke the words, "Being still is no longer an option." And that's why I was thinking of what you said. That he said, as we go forth, he said, everywhere you set the soles of your feet, something's going to happen. And especially if you're walking, you know, in speaking the words of the Lord, he particularly, because he's a prophet of the Lord, will walk and prophesy. Currently, he's prophesying along the Gulf Coast, because his particular ministry is located right on the Gulf Coast, and he said he finds himself even prophesying to the beach, he's prophesying to the waves, but he knows that everywhere his feet are walking, something's going to happen, and he was giving that out to the body of Christ as he was speaking. And I felt that was something that we needed to hear, that we are light in darkness and not to be still.
It kind of ties in with that vision I had.
Yeah.
You know, as we took a step forward.
It's amazing how this was tying in to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that particularly spoke to me was in Malachi 3. Both Paul Kane and Paul Keith got Malachi 3. And there's two pieces to Malachi 3 that particularly touched my heart. And the first part that touched me was 1 through 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger or angel of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the priests, the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in righteousness. That's the first part that speaks to me, and I don't know about you, but I can attest to the fact that I'm feeling like the refiner's fire is doing a work. As uncomfortable it is, I am rejoicing in it because I am beginning to see what the Lord is after. And for a long while, in one particular area that the Lord has been allowing this fire, I would get upset. In the last few days, I've been finding myself thanking the Lord for this area of my life, because it roots way back into my childhood. And I'm thanking him for that area of my childhood that I could not before. And I'm thanking the way it's affecting me now, because it's causing me to dig deep, to really seek the Lord's face through it. And I'm beginning to see what he's doing with it. And it's a time for rejoicing. So this particular part of Malachi 3 speaks to my heart. And the other part of Malachi 3 that speaks to my heart, and I trust to yours, is verses 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. I'm just going to leave that in your hands and let the Lord speak to you. But the first part of that was particularly special. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another.
That's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just
being written. Yeah.
Very strongly speaking, and the Lord is listening and hearing it.
Yes.
That's very special, very precious. That's what I felt to give out from what I'd seen.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll share something on Sunday. The Holy Spirit just came just at Faith Tabernacle, and I hadn't been there in a while, but it was so nice that just all of a sudden the anointing just came down, and I was slain in the Spirit, and during that time the Lord gave me a word, and what he spoke was that we are meant to carry his presence, and in order to carry that presence, we have to go through the fire. That's what cleanses us. But as we walk in his ways, as we carry that presence and we become righteous because of the fire, all the cleansing and stuff, that there's power in the body. And I believe that he's doing this to the church. He's preparing the bride to have power so he could work through us to do what he wants to do in this world here, this darkness. Mm-hmm. So, I give him praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And for Linda, when you were in Isaiah, mm-hmm. I had a note here from June 08 that I had a dream standing on a high mountain looking out at the sea. And I just remember that. It brought it all back. So I was like, time is coming. It's closer.
It's closer. I was listening to TBN the other night. And his name, the one that has the manna. Perry Stone?
Mm-hmm.
Perry Stone. Manifest.
Yeah.
And he was talking with someone else. And they were talking about Caleb. And most people don't know this, but Caleb wasn't an Israelite. He was, well, you know Esau? And, well, he became Israel. Jacob became Israel. Well, Esau wasn't the one that the Lord was going to bless. So he founded Edom, and that's Arabic, or Islam right now. And yet, Caleb was from that, but the Lord used him. He was there, and the Lord used him. And so, you know, we can't judge people by even how we think they're worshiping the Lord, mm-hmm. or where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. So that's a lesson for us.
Mm-hmm. Just like Saul became Paul. I mean, he'll choose
to
walk someone.
That's right.
You know, whoever. Mm-hmm. Sounds like God.
Well, blessings to you all for the rest of your evening,
you too.
For your travels home, and
amen.
For the rest of your week.